Thursday, August 14th. It's week two of the preseason, and we've got a PPR mock draft to tell you all about.
You were doing it so much better earlier.
What was wrong with how I was doing it just now?
You were doing it like
a very... I was doing the head bob and everything.
You were doing a very, like high-pitched voice.
No draft results?
What are you talking about? Yeah, draft results.
Really?
Today, PPR mock... I'm not responsible for bringing everything in for you. Go get your computer and...
I'm on my phone.
Good. Okay, welcome to the show.
Are you going to do it through the CBSSports.com fantasy football app?
Oh, there he goes promoting everything. This is our marketing department, Dave Richard.
Thank you, Adam Azer.
Jamie Eisenberg is the guy who didn't bring his laptop in. We're looking at our 12-team PPR mock draft.
People are going to think we're just picking up from yesterday where we left off.
Read it. Well, yeah, we did auction yesterday. Today we do PPR.
No, I mean when Dave tackled you and wouldn't let you touch the computer.
Oh, we were a little silly. It's Thursday, August 14th. And email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Oh, here's a quick email from Josh in Chicago. Dear Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Those are stooges.
How come the fantasy podcasts aren't recorded and posted earlier in the day? I love listening to the podcasts at work, but hate listening to them the day after they are posted. Adam pulls songs strings and makes something happen.
Song strings?
That's what it says. Autocorrect. Pull some strings and make something happen. Okay, I pulled the strings. Starting Tuesday, we'll be going in the morning. We're going to keep the baseball podcast Monday mornings since they are sort of time sensitive. But beginning next week, other than Mondays, at least until the regular season starts, the fantasy football podcast will be early in the morning. And then on, of course, okay, you guys know what I'm saying. So
no,
I'm going to stop rambling.
I have no idea what you're saying. What time do we have to be here?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
You know that.
What time do the listeners have to be here?
Should be posted by about 10:30 a.m. Eastern time.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, we did a PPR mock draft on Tuesday. We broke it down Wednesday on the video show. We'll talk some strategy today and see how our teams turned out. The three of us, unfortunately, the three of us all employed the same strategy, and we picked wide receiver with our first two picks, but we had different spots in the draft. So I will make the case that Dave took too many running backs. Dave will argue with me.
I didn't take enough.
And I do want to get to some emails, like this one. Email of the day number two is from John. He says, "Dear Hyde, Kelso, and Eric." Jamie, what's that? Hyde, Kelso, and Eric.
Carlos Hyde?
Exactly. Travis Kelso. And
it's from a TV show.
Come on. What are your thoughts on an auction draft that have a $200 budget, but the money you don't spend in the draft is your free agent acquisition budget for bidding in the upcoming year?
That's interesting. I like it, but I think I'd want to make it like a $300 budget if you're going to go that route. Or, Adam, have a $200 budget, and then whatever's left over goes into your fab budget that begins with $100. Maybe that's the better way to go. So after your draft, you're guaranteed at least 100 fab dollars to use throughout the offseason, or during the season, rather, to make your moves. But you get 200 to use in the auction. If you finish your auction with an extra 15 bucks left over, carries over, now you've got 115 to spend during the season.
Why not just do a $100 budget, and whatever you have left over there, you put onto an extra $100 for fab.
You could do that too.
Yeah.
I just like more money.
I agree with you, though. You start with a fab budget if you spend all your money on the auction, but so at least you have something.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, you end up with, you save 10 bucks when you're auctioning, you add it to your fab.
Fab, by the way,
is free agent acquisition budget.
It would be a little more hardcore if you started with 300 bucks and there was nothing in your fab budget during the season. So you had to save some of that money.
Yeah.
Or in theory, you would. Maybe you won't. Maybe in your draft, you'll spend all 300 and then you're making zero moves.
Terrible.
Well, $0 moves.
Yeah, you could do $0 bids, but I think that's a terrible idea to have no money.
I'm just saying that would be an option for you,
yeah.
But then you would have a bonanza during the draft.
And just so people know, FAB, free agent acquisition budget, is the most fair way to do free agency in waiver claims.
This editorial brought to you by Adam Azer.
If you disagree, please chime in. But you don't have to worry about what place I have in waivers, this and that. Everybody gets to bid on players, and whoever wins, you know, with the highest bid gets the guy.
You don't think it's fair that the worst team in the league gets the first crack to pick a player?
Why do you get rewarded
for
being bad?
That's what the NFL does.
I don't care. Why do you get rewarded for being bad?
Because you should have a chance to get better.
You do have a chance to get better. You have a fab budget. You have the same chance as everyone else.
I like it either way. I think the fab is a little more fun, and I like fun.
Jamie hasn't spoken in a while.
Hey.
Email of the day number three is from Dave. Where's Dave from?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's where I'm from.
I have the second pick in a 10-team PPR league. When the round 2-3 swing comes, I was planning on going wide receiver, wide receiver. However, the way the draft will go, the big three quarterbacks will go early, and I anticipate running backs to fall, like Foster, Bernard, Le'Veon Bell, and possibly Lynch. So, starting out with a running back in round one in a PPR league, would you draft a second running back here with a top wide receiver, or stick to the two receiver strategy?
A second running back here?
Yeah, like if you had the second.
Oh,
pick
he's saying that they're going to fall to the second to the third round.
Picks 18, pick 18, no, pick 19. Sorry.
Well, yeah,
all right. So you start with a running back in round one PPR. Round two comes along. This is the 19th pick in a 10-team league. Usually you'd go wide receiver, right?
I'm still confused. He's going wide receiver, right?
No, he said, I was planning on doing that, but if right. Giovanni Bernard falls, if Le'Veon Bell falls, do you not go receiver? Do you go two running backs with your first two picks?
But why is he saying round 2-3 swing?
Because he has the second overall pick.
I'm sorry. I'm confused. Okay, yes. I'd take a running back and then two receivers.
Which one would you take? Bernard, right? PPR?
No, I would take two receivers.
You said you take a. You go receiver.
I take a running
receiver?
Back at two, and then I go receiver. Receiver.
Even if Bernard falls,
depends who the receivers are. But you know, if
let's say it's
if Bernard falls, you have to take him.
Let's say if the best one is Jordy Nelson.
I take Bernard over Nelson.
Me too.
But if it's Marshall,
I take Marshall.
Dave.
No, I'll take Bernard over Marshall.
Bernard.
Yeah.
And these are the situations you are confronted with in PPR leagues. So that's why we're breaking down our drafts. Go to CBSSports.com/fantasyparty. And if you're in the Foxborough area on Saturday the 23rd, from 10 a.m. on, come to the CBS scene. You get there the earlier the better. We'll be doing live drafts. We'll be doing raffles. We'll have some draft advice. It's free. It's fun. And it'll be a good time.
And this Saturday?
CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Download the what was the mobile app to download?
Radio.com.
Download the Radio.com mobile app if you want to listen that way. And from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on Saturday, we'll take your phone calls. We'll go over everything you need to know. We'll have Jason Lockett Ford joining us. It'll be good stuff. Before we get into the draft, a few more things here. Tweet of the day, number one. I try to get some PPR questions here. So, Andrew Jacobs, who do you want as your RB1 in PPR? DeMarco Murray or Monte Ball? Or would you take a stud wide receiver and wait until round three for Zach Stacy or Reggie Bush?
What happened to round two?
I guess he's going receiver in round two.
Yeah. If I can get DeMarco Murray, I like that.
Over Monte Ball?
In a PPR, yeah.
Same.
You don't think, wait, I don't know that you get Zach Stacy in round three, but if you could, is that better value than Murray in one?
I mean, if you're getting Murray, you're picking toward the back end of the first round, so you're probably saying
that's
that,
a late third then.
Let's assume that you're taking Murray after Demaryius Thomas. So Demaryius Thomas comes off the board, then you're deciding between Murray and Dez, Marshall, or Julio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go Murray over those guys, it's fine. Then round two, you're probably taking whatever receiver falls to you, so probably based on average draft position, it's probably Julio or A.J. Green. And then if you're talking, take Stacy out of the equation because I doubt he's there round three. So Reggie Bush, that's a great start. It's almost.
You took Marshawn Lynch with the 10th pick of round three in that PPR draft.
But again, that's most of our drafters being afraid of Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
Most of the public based on.
Well, the next two running backs that went right after that were Bishop Sankey to Darst, and then I took Toby Gerhardt.
Right. Those are running backs I bet you could find round three PPR.
Right.
Late
round four,
three.
I took Reggie Bush.
Okay.
Yeah, Bush will be there too if you really want him.
Remember that discussion we had about bye weeks yesterday?
I do.
Chris Jackson has tweet of the day number two. Week four bye notwithstanding, if I draft Monte Ball and get Demaryius in the second round, I take him, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Suffer week four and whatever.
Hey, who says you're suffering? You'll have a backup running back. You'll draft somebody that you plug in and you'll find an answer at receiver.
What did you do?
It's not like you're guaranteed zero.
You did that in auction, right? Don't you have Demaryius and Ball?
Yes.
Okay. So you can go with, if I remember correctly, you have Patterson as your third receiver.
Yeah.
He now becomes your starter that week.
Yep.
And
I'll have Reggie Ridley, Bush. Lamar Miller, Reggie Bush.
All right. So that's a scenario where you're fine.
Yeah. There you go. Tweet of the day number three from Amit. Can you guys address the impact of any contract year player in football podcasts?
We've kind of backed away from the whole contract year phenomenon, since sometimes it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to give you three players that you should absolutely take in regard to contract years.
Okay.
Carlos Hyde, Christian Michael, Cody Latimer. They're all playing behind guys that are not going to be on their teams next year.
Wait a minute. Who's not? Oh, Welker. I thought you were saying Demaryius for a second.
Wes Welker.
Kind of like had that sinking feeling in my stomach.
Latimer could be a starter for the Broncos next year, and Carlos Hyde and Christian Michael could be the starting running backs on great running teams.
So on the flip side, do you think that there's going to be big-time motivation for Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, and Wes Welker?
I don't think the running backs change anything because they're highly motivated guys. They just have some bad situations surrounding them. Welker, I think, we saw it the last time he was in a contract year. He had a very big year in New England.
Our guy,
contracts are structured so differently now that it's like you're always in a contract year.
Yes.
More or less. I mean, yeah. That's obviously a very sweeping statement. But
depends
guys,
on the player. Like, you know, you could make an argument that Andre Johnson's in a contract year, even though he's not.
Colin Kaepernick Larry just signed a contract, but we know that Colin Kaepernick's contract is one that in which he has to keep performing, you know, to earn his money.
Ben Tate as well.
Andy Dalton, too.
Yeah, oh, you're right, right. All right, injuries, news, and notes.
The guys it really doesn't impact is like the rookies because they're locked in
for
4 years.
Marshawn Lynch has been cleared in an assault case. Falsely accused. Dwayne Bowe has a messed up finger, and he can't catch a cold. You guys ever hear that one?
He has a messed up finger and he can't catch a cold.
Well, that you can't catch a cold.
Because you can't catch anything if you have a messed up finger. are you appearing on Vaudeville next week?
Well, this Saturday is going to be fun.
So
I can't wait for all these terrible jokes.
So Dwayne Bowe does have a messed up finger and he's having a bad camp. Is he still on your late round sleeper? I don't even know how late it is.
I wouldn't call him a sleeper, but late round pick, yeah.
A value pick in the late rounds? Like, you know how you go to a fast food place and you order a value meal? And then you know how you feel after you have a value meal? Yeah, that's how you might feel after you draft Dwayne Bowe.
I had one of those this morning.
Me too.
Nice. How'd you feel afterwards?
Great.
Yeah, not me. Dwayne Bowe or, let's see where he's going, in the old ADP, Dwayne Bowe or Reggie Wayne?
Wayne.
Mike Evans.
I will take the old man with one knee over Dwayne
Bowe. He's having a great camp, though.
He is. I really hope he keeps it up.
Dwayne Bowe or Mike Evans?
Evans.
Rookie.
Dwayne Bowe or Reuben Randle?
Randle.
Giant.
Dwayne Bowe or Riley Cooper?
You could pretty much say Dwayne Bowe
against
anybody.
I would take Dwayne Bowe over Riley Cooper because there's another guy that hasn't been on the field.
I'd rather draft a running back.
That's such a cop-out. Tampa Bay running back Charles Sims hurt his ankle.
That stinks. Yeah. That's good news for Doug Martin.
Yes.
Well, guys go in walking boots a lot, even when it's not that severe. No, even when it's like they get carted off the field all the time. Doesn't mean it's a big deal.
But it could be a high ankle sprain.
I read that it's not a high ankle sprain.
The reason he's not on crutches, so that leads you to believe he's not having a high ankle sprain. The thing that stinks for a rookie who's expected to play on passing downs is he loses valuable time learning pass protection, which is something Doug Martin proved he can do.
James White got first-team reps for the Pats. If you draft Ridley, do you feel like you need to draft James White?
The funny thing is, I don't think you have to. It's probably a good idea. But White is kind of like a dual handcuff. Like, he can do Shane Vereen's job, and I think he could do Stephen Ridley's job, too. So two fantasy owners are going to be after him in the mid to late rounds now. And his stock is rising.
ESPN reporting that Matt Cassel is in line to start week one for Minnesota. And Michael Crabtree is back.
That's very good.
Yeah. Yep. I'm assuming he's not playing this week?
I would say no.
I'm not sure. Mike Wallace is expected to play this week. Didn't play last week.
Toby Gerhart, too.
Jeremy Maclin is not.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin walked off practice with a hamstring injury on Wednesday.
His stock is falling.
Yes.
Why?
Because he has a hamstring injury.
Anybody coming off injury that gets hurt again, not
right,
a good thing.
Right.
Different injury, though.
Yeah, but you compensate because you're worried about
that's
one
true.
Thing. You start to hurt others.
All right, guys, what do you want to say about our PPR mock draft before we get into the results? I'll start out with some questions.
Sure.
Come on, Jamie.
Like I said, we all went wide receiver, wide receiver. Dave had the 5th pick. Jamie had the 10th pick. I had the 12th pick. 12 teams PPR. 1 point per reception. One quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, tight end, flex, which is running back, wide receiver, tight end, kicker, defense. At what point do you take the first wide receiver? Dave, this question is relevant for you since you had the fifth pick.
Normally, in a standard draft, I would take Eddie Lacy there. No questions asked. Get the stud running back. But in a PPR league, Calvin Johnson's just too alluring to me. And I even went into the draft knowing that I was going to take Calvin and planning to take a receiver. Assuming a stud running back didn't make it back to me in round two, I was going back-to-back with receivers. And I love that strategy if you take Calvin to be your first receiver.
Now let me.
What if it's
you,
half-point PPR? What would you have done?
I would go with Lacy.
I'm going to look at your rankings, Dave, for PPR, for running backs.
Okay.
And you said you go Calvin Johnson 5 overall, and you're going to take a receiver in the second round unless a stud running back falls. So I will read running backs, and you tell me where that cutoff line
go ahead.
Is. DeMarco Murray, Giovanni Bernard, Eddie Lacy, Monte Ball, Le'Veon Bell.
All right, you can stop after Le'Veon.
Andre Ellington.
You know what? I think I had the option of Ellington and Alshon Jeffrey when I picked in round two, and I went with Alshon.
Okay. But if Le'Veon Bell had been on the board?
Yeah, I would have taken him.
So there you go. That's your ninth-ranked running back in PPR. You feel the same way, Jamie? You have Le'Veon Bell 9 and Ellington 10, just like Dave. You're drafting in round two, and you've got a wide receiver in round one. Andre Ellington's on the board. Alshon Jeffrey's on the board. Who are you taking?
Jeffrey.
Okay. So first four picks, still running backs?
Yep.
Same
and that's
order?
What they were in this draft. It was Charles, Forte, McCoy, Peterson.
Forte ahead of McCoy. How do you feel about that?
I would do that in a standard league.
I wouldn't do it in either league.
I always forget your rankings. Sorry, Dave.
It's okay.
I always forget you have Forte, too. We go Charles, Forte, McCoy, Peterson, Calvin, Giovanni Bernard is the next running back. Ahead of Murray, ahead of Bell, ahead of Lacy. How do you feel about that? Sixth overall.
I would have taken Jimmy Graham or Demaryius Thomas there. But I do like Gio a lot more in PPR leagues. Like, to me, he's a first rounder. Probably not at six, probably like 9, 10, 11. In a 12-team PPR, he's a first round pick.
The stat I had on Eddie Lacy was that he was like the number six running back in PPR leagues last year. And right around there in standard. But in standard scoring leagues, oh, crap.
You're botching.
He was number four receiver.
Number four, was it?
Mm-hmm. If you had ranked all the running backs and receivers together, he would have been fourth in a standard league. But isn't it like 13th in a PPR?
17th in PPR.
17th in a PPR.
Whereas Lynch was 13th. Lynch had more fantasy points than every wide receiver in standard last year. But that's the 13th most in PPR, if you look at wide receivers. And Lacy, 17th among wide receivers. So there's a big difference with guys like that. So Lacy went 7th, ahead of Graham, ahead of Murray, Thomas, blah, blah, blah. Thoughts on Lacy at 7?
It's too high. I think he's still a first-round pick, but he should have been after Graham and after Thomas.
So is Graham the 6th pick for you guys in PPR?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our first
I'm
round.
I'm sorry, he's 7th for me, Adam.
Who's 6th? Demaryius?
Demaryius.
Sorry. All right, so we went Charles, Forte, McCoy, Peterson, Calvin, Gio, Lacy, Graham, DeMarco Murray, Demaryius to Jamie, Le'Veon Bell, and then I took Dez Bryant, and then I took Brandon Marshall.
Were you definitely
pick.
Going receiver there on the end? You had it locked in your mind? Or was there a running back? Did Monte Ball tempt you at all?
He did quite a bit, and I actually thought Jamie was going to take him in the second round, but he didn't. Ball went one pick after Jamie, 4th overall in the second round.
Right, but you chose Brandon Marshall over Monte Ball. I'd like to know why.
My thought was the quality of running back I'd be able to get in round 4 would still be pretty good in a PPR league because I knew people were going to go crazy for wide receivers. So I'll lock up two awesome wide receivers there with my first two picks, Dez and Marshall, and have no problem with it. I actually ended up getting Toby Gerhart, and I could have gotten Reggie Bush. I took Drew Brees in the 4th round, but I didn't expect him to be there. So I would have been very happy with two wide receivers, two running backs with my first two picks in that order.
That's what most people are looking at, though, in their drafts is probably the two running backs because Brees won't be there around 4.
Yeah. Now, I actually want a top 4 pick in a standard scoring league, but I love picking at the back of a PPR league.
Now, what would you have done, though, if Murray had gone – I'm sorry, if let's just say Chris Towers who took Murray – and Darst, who took Le'Veon Bell, what if they had gone receivers?
So I would have gone A.J. Green, Julio Jones.
Well, no, you wouldn't have probably had the opportunity.
Sure he would. But then he could have gone with the running backs then.
That's my question is, would you have settled for Jordy Nelson? Bell?
Yeah, okay, if I didn't...
So let's just say it went... Let's take it even further. So Will takes Jimmy Graham. Jeff Tobin takes Demaryius Thomas. Chris Towers takes Dez Bryant. I take Brandon Marshall. And Darce takes A.J. Green. So you're going Julio Jones and who?
Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. You're not
or
taking...
Or Giovanni Bernard.
You're not taking Jordy.
No, actually, I honestly don't know. I feel like Jordy is not a big catch guy. He's like a very productive guy, gets a lot of touchdowns, but not as many catches.
Sure.
Is that true?
75 catches, I think it's fair.
Yeah, he's not 100 catches or anything. So I probably, yeah, I like Dez and Marshall a lot more than I like Jordy Nelson. Do you guys feel the same way?
Sure.
That's my point, though, because you were committed to receiver. What would have swayed it for you?
Yeah, Dez and, yeah, two.
Any of the top six you would have taken?
Yes.
So Green and Julio you would have taken?
Probably. Yeah. How many catches do you guys think Julio Jones gets this year?
100.
You think so?
Yeah. 85.
Then yes. How about you guys? What would you have done?
I would have gone one of the running backs.
Me too.
Either Gio or Lacy.
Why? What's the difference between Dez and Marshall and Julio and AJ Green?
No. I'm saying if it was the Jordy.
If it was Jordy.
Yeah. I would have gone running back.
All right. Anything else to say about how to start a PPR draft?
No, just don't ignore the receivers. Just because of how much they go up, their value is so much higher in a full point PPR.
And what's your approach to quarterbacks? Because we did ignore quarterbacks. Peyton Manning went in the third round, and then Breeze and Rodgers went with the first two picks of the fourth round. And that's just very late.
It is late, but I think it's an example of 12 people who recognize that it's a huge mistake to take a quarterback in round one.
It's just not representative, though, I mean, of what people are going to do.
I can't control what other people do.
Sure.
I can only give advice for the people who are listening and want to hear it. And in a PPR league, I would wait on a quarterback even more than I would in a standard league. Unless you've got like 14, 16, 18, 32 teams. You know, if you're just in a Brady Bunch-style Sunday night buffet of people in a league and there's too many people playing, then, yeah, you'll go quarterback. But forget that otherwise.
So
the problem will be also is that there could be five people who listen to what Dave just said and seven people take quarterbacks in the first couple of rounds and then panic sets in. Because it's just natural.
So round two was Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, Julio Jones. And with our first 15 picks now, we've got six wide receivers and a tight end off the board. And the rest are running backs, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Then Monte Ball to Chris Towers, who starts his team with DeMarco Murray and Monte Ball. Interesting. We'll take a look at his team. Jordy Nelson, Antonio Brown. This better format for Brown?
Much.
Is he ahead of Jordy Nelson for you guys in this format?
I have to double check my rankings, but something tells me he is.
Arian Foster, seventh pick of round two. Alshon Jeffrey. Alfred Morris in round two, ninth pick. Is that a bad spot for Alf?
I love Alfred Morris. I think he's going to have a huge year. I think it's too soon for him.
Uh-huh.
You would have gone with Cobb, Gronk, or Ellington over him?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, and I do have Jordy ahead of Antonio Brown in PPR.
I think the thing you have to also realize is not just where he's going in the second round, it's who he's going to. He's going to an owner who took a running back. So right. Not only you're compounding it by taking him running back, and leaving yourself thin at receiver, you're leaving yourself thin at catches.
I believe what Rob Rang said, because he's the guy who took, who did he take in the first round?
Adrian Peterson.
Peterson, and then Alf. I think he said Alshon Jeffrey, had he fallen to him, he would have taken him, but Jeffrey went the pick before to Dave.
Right.
So he didn't want to go to Randall Cobb. He thought that was a teardrop off at wide receiver, so he said, I'll take Alfred Morris.
I don't think it was that. I think he said there was a teardrop off at running back, in his opinion.
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Because he said he knows that his concern with Cobb was injuries, not necessarily the production. Because he said he believes that Cobb could be a 100-catch guy.
If we knew Alfred Morris was going to catch 30 passes this year, just 25 to 30 passes, I don't think I'd have a big problem with this.
Okay.
Right. We know he's going to catch like four passes.
No, he'll be better than that.
Five passes.
He's going to be in the teens. It's just a matter of, it's going to be a career high in receptions for him, but that's not saying much for a guy that had 20 combined in 2 years.
I don't want to go through this round by round, so Should we look at the way teams?
Well, it's just a strategy. You have Rob, who took running back, Chris Towers, who took running back, Larry Hartstein, who took running back, tight end, and Peter Manet, who took running back, tight end with his first three picks.
Didn't Jeff Tobin go tight end, wide receiver with his first two picks?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about people that didn't take a tight end. Oh, take I a receiver see. In the
so
first.
So let's look at Chris's team. We looked at Rob's team on the video show. Chris went Monte Ball, DeMarco Murray, and his team finished up with this. Tony Romo. Romo stat.
So Romo averaged 0.6 fantasy points per attempt last year. If you give him, because of the play caller in Scott Linehan, if you give him Scott Linehan's play calling, which resulted in Matthew Stafford attempting 634 pass attempts, that gives you 380 fantasy points, which would have put Tony Romo third last year behind Manning and Breeze.
What do you make of that, Dave?
I think it's really awesome.
It's not a true representation of what Tony Romo's going to do. But it just gives you fuel for thought that if they are going to throw as much as the Lions have thrown, which Stafford, each of the last three seasons, has been fourth, first, and first in pass attempts, then Romo is in line to throw a lot. And just based on what his numbers were a year ago, that's where he could end up.
I think the biggest concern you've got with Romo, honestly, is him staying healthy and defenses not being able to really slow him down, even though they know he's going to be throwing a lot.
See, I think the Cowboys come out trying to establish the run to keep their defense off the field because they're so bad. And then when they're down probably by two touchdowns in the third quarter,
yeah,
they're throwing a lot.
Right, yeah. But and then for like the end of the third quarter to the beginning of the fourth quarter, defenses
it's not like they're
might
not
be real interested in trying to get to him and knock him down. They know that he's going to be throwing.
Right.
But then when the game's out of hand, the defense isn't going to care. And
well, it's also part of it is that they're not. It's not that they're not going to be throwing early in the game. It's also, to your point, that defenses know they're going to be throwing. That offensive line's going to be good. And they even, right. Jason LaCofora reported from being at, spending time with the Cowboys, that Jason Witten may spend the most time of his career running routes than he has before and not having to focus on his blocking as much. One other thing that I found with Romo that I thought was interesting, that Dez Bryant led the NFL in falling down inside the five-yard line last year. Seven times he fell down inside the five-yard line. Take away the Stafford stuff and the Lennon stuff. If he gets those 42 points from six passing touchdowns, or what is it, seven passing touchdowns at 6 points a score, that puts him also at third, just based on where he was. So
and he missed the game.
If you give him the game that he missed, he averaged 21.6 fantasy points a game last year. If you give him that, he goes to sixth.
He also had a 50-point
game. He averaged, 21.6 fantasy points per game in PPR?
Romo.
Oh, Romo.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were talking
Sorry,
about
no.
Dez.
So,
I apologize.
I think, you know, I understand the detractors of Romo. He's 34, coming off back surgery, second time in 2 years, and right now he's having trouble throwing the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. But I know another quarterback that was coming off of an injured season before and had trouble throwing the ball down the field, and he was still pretty good. Not that saying Romo's Peyton Manning, but you can still get by without having to throw the ball 50 yards down the field.
I thought you were talking about Byron Leftwich.
When you have
Okay, Tony Romo is Chris's quarterback. Right. Monte Ball, DeMarco Murray. Wide receivers are Michael Crabtree and Andre Johnson. Tight ends, Kyle Rudolph. Flex is Pierre Thomas. Broncos, DST, Adam Vinatieri. That's an awesome team, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to score a lot of points every single week.
Yeah, he does need Andre to have a good year. Pierre Thomas is a very good flex in this format.
Right.
Led all running backs and catches last year. Bench isn't great. I don't know, he's got Mike Wallace, Saquon Bolden, Sammy Watkins. It's a good team.
His bench is okay. He's got one running back on his bench.
So I do think you can obviously field a competitive team if you go running back in PPR leagues. Didn't want to make people feel that way.
And what did he do? He went receiver in rounds 3 and 4.
Right.
I do think you pencil yourself in for that if you start running back.
Probably.
Just like if you start receiver, you're probably going to go with two running backs in rounds 3 and 4.
Do you think you go into a PPR draft thinking your flex is going to be a wide receiver?
No, I don't try and predetermine that at all.
Okay.
But I don't rule it out at all.
What
I said it all twice.
You didn't. Who's your flex?
Trenerson.
Give me another team.
But that's the kind of just way my lineup sits right now.
Give me another team we should look up.
How about Peter Madden?
Peter Madden. Peter Madden.
A lot of comments on the bottom of the story. I think Peter Madden won this draft.
Went Jamal Charles and Andre. He had the first pick. So he went Jamal Charles and Andre Ellington with his first two picks.
Which means
Julius
he had the
Thomas.
First pick in round three.
Yeah, Julius Thomas.
That's what he used it on, was Julius Thomas.
So his team is Andrew Luck, Jamal Charles, Andre Ellington, Victor Cruz, Roddy White, Julius Thomas, Jeremy Maclin is his flex. On the bench, we got Niall Davis, Ronnie Hillman, Darren Sproles, Danny Woodhead. Very format-specific stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Amendola and Akiem Nicks. I see a lot of question marks at wide receiver on this team. I wouldn't have called him a clear-cut winner here.
I agree. But I think you got to look at, he's got two top 10 running backs based on our rankings.
Yeah.
As starters.
Charles and Ellington.
Top three tight end.
Thomas.
And then his two starting wide receivers, assuming Roddy White and Victor Cruz bounce back to their previous forms, which is questionable. There could be 80 catches each there.
Yeah, I think he's got five potential difference makers in his starting lineup. That includes Luck, who hasn't always been a difference maker. In fact, he's only had 12 games in his career so far with over 20 fantasy points. So Luck would need to take the next step in order to be called a difference maker. But
all right.
I think in the PPR, Victor Cruz carries much better value. I think he's going to get a ton of targets, catch a lot of passes. I think Roddy White is definitely in for a bounce-back year. He's healthier now, going to be used in a lot of different ways that he wasn't in the past. And Atlanta's going to be like Dallas. They're going to throw the ball plenty.
He's healthier now.
We've talked about Andre Ellington all offseason long. Anybody who's been listening to more than one podcast knows how we feel about him. We think he's going to step up and be a huge target in the passing game and an explosive player even when he gets a handoff. The flex is a big question mark, especially now that Macklin's hamstring has acted up.
Not if it's Woodhead, though.
Right. He can just go to Danny Woodhead. Or if something happens and Monte Ball has, can somebody have two appendectomies? Let's just say yes. Then Ronnie Hillman is your week one starter in Denver, and guess what?
That's Sproles, who's been a very good PPR player.
Yeah, and they're saying Sproles is going to play a lot.
Tell me what you guys think about Sproles.
I just think...
This is the only format where I'd want him.
Full point PPR, I would target Sproles and consider him a flex-worthy type player.
He's not going to be, when he had those 5 to 7 touchdown seasons in New Orleans, or 7 to 9 touchdowns, excuse me. If you get 5 touchdowns out of him, he's probably going to be around 60 catches. Because last year was a down year for him. He had 73.
Mm-hmm. So I think
you bumped that down a little bit more.
Almost exclusively as a receiver.
Right. The question would be does he gain value if LeSean McCoy gets hurt? I don't think that changes too much.
First pick of round 9, after Jeremy Hill. This is Darren Sproles. After Jeremy Hill, before Noshon Moreno, before Devontae Freeman. So do you think that's a good group for him to be going around?
I might have gone Freeman. I don't remember how I have it ranked.
But it's, it's appropriate for him to go there.
Yeah.
The other thing with PPR leagues is touchdowns still matter.
Sure.
So don't eliminate guys who don't catch the ball, like running backs. Yeah. 2 years ago, Stephen Ridley was a very good running back, even in a PPR league. And what, did he have 6 catches that year or something like that?
Sure. Frank Gore is going to get overlooked because he doesn't catch the ball very much anymore.
Yeah. It's not like Alf is terrible.
Exactly.
He's just not Ellington.
Right. Marshawn Lynch is not terrible. Eddie Lacy's not. I mean, Eddie Lacy had 35 catches last year.
Yes,
so when you factor in his rushing prowess, that's going to make him still very good and first-round worthy. I think you look at where Steven Jackson went. How far he fell.
Yeah, that was big. That was ridiculous. That was, the end of round 9?
It was over. It was after pick 100.
Yeah, it's insane. All right, let's go to Dave's team. Colin Kaepernick, Ray Rice, Shane Vereen, very good in PPR.
Mm-hmm.
Alshon Jeffrey and Calvin Johnson, Jordan Cameron, Kendall Wright, another PPR specialist, Bengals, Gostkowski. On the bench, we've got Lance Dunbar, Jonathan Grimes, Fred Jackson, Lamar Miller, James White, 5 bench running backs, and 1 bench receiver, Josh Gordon. So that was the beef I had with your team, Dave. You have three wide receivers on your team in a PPR league, and they are Calvin Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey, Kendall Wright.
So if I'm going to have 3 wide receivers on my team, they better be guys that I plan on starting every week, rain or shine, in big-time offenses. Well, 2 of them are. Calvin Johnson's in a big-time offense. Alshon Jeffrey's in a big-time offense. They're going to catch a lot of passes. They're going to score a bunch of touchdowns. Kendall Wright, not necessarily in a big-time offense, But we do know his prowess for catching passes. And I think for now, that's my flex. I don't know if I'm ever sitting any of those 2/3 receivers.
Might not have a choice.
Until they're all on bye in week 9, and then I won't have a choice.
They might get hurt.
They might get hurt, and then I go to the waiver wire and find somebody else.
Who are you going to find?
Who are you going to cut?
That's the bigger issue.
You got Dunbar and Grimes. They're the first ones to go.
Probably those
Yeah, but
two.
Not if or their situations are better.
Right. Or Well, yeah. That's when you make a trade. That's
okay, but we know number. Sometimes we played in leagues last year where people were unwilling to trade. You went in the situation, I remember, in our auction last year, 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
You had RG3.
Two top 10 quarterbacks.
Right, and you couldn't trade him to save your life.
I think I could have
Running backs
him
are
to
easier to
life.
Trade than quarterbacks.
Yeah, but still, you never know.
No, I mean, your fourth wide receiver is Josh Gordon. And as Jamie said many times, if Gordon plays 8 games, Dave wins the league. I mean, I'm not approach. I don't think he's going to. What would you guys guess?
I would guess no, but I mean, where Dave took him was, why not take the gamble on it?
And if the answer is no, then why is the NFL taking forever to make
Who
that
knows?
Announcement?
But how is this guy not going to miss more? How is he not going to miss the whole season? I don't get it.
Listen, I don't either. And something tells me that because this whole Josh Gordon issue is taking forever, that something's up. And either a deal will be reached that allows him to play this year, or Gordon's going to win his appeal and he plays 16 games this year.
And you drafted him in round 11.
11.
So
it's, PBR league. It's lottery ticket time.
Yeah, it's not the Josh Gordon pick that I mind. It's that he's your only backup wide receiver.
He's my fourth wide receiver.
He's technically not his only one because he doesn't have to play 3.
Yeah, I know. But he's going to want
to. Right, Lamar Miller could end up being my flex.
Fred Jackson caught a lot of balls last year, didn't he?
He did. He
so
also
he is your bench running back. One of your.
He's
bench
another
that's
player
a,
that
that's
I think
a
is
huge
better
Chris
in PPR.
Candidate.
Oh,
yes,
there's no question.
But,
no
but
question.
I just wanted to point out, like, I think, like, I was surprised when I saw the stat the first time because in my mind he's a goal line back kind of sure. guy. I didn't realize he was used so much in the passing.
Oh
game
yeah,
last
he's
year.
Their he's basically their passing downs back and their no huddle back.
Jamie's team. Or do you have any thoughts on your team, Dave?
Well, I know a couple people have asked me about Ray Rice and what I was thinking with Ray Rice. Since, mm-hmm. You know, the bigger problem is what happens if one of my wide receivers get hurt before the season starts. Now I've got to scramble to replace Ray Rice for 2 games because I don't have Bernard Pierce. And then I've got to go and replace a receiver on top of that. I think I can wait for Ray Rice to come back in a couple weeks. And I think in a PPR league, he's got more value than in a standard league.
I would say, though, you bring up an interesting point. If you go receiver, that is a running back I would probably avoid.
Because
you don't have
you
for 2 games.
You need a starter right away.
You need a starter right away. And now, especially okay. if you go with the thought of potentially using a receiver at your flex spot.
So here's the problem I had, because I think this is a good topic to bring up. So sorry, Adam. I'm up in round 4. I knew I needed to go running back in round 4. Didn't want to take another receiver, because I didn't know what I was going to do necessarily in round 5. But I knew I had 2 stud receivers. I knew I had Shane Vereen in round 3. My queue was filled with the following names right before my pick in round 4. Reggie Bush, Ryan Matthews, CJ Spiller, Joik Bell. All 4 of them went in the 5 picks in front of me before I was up with my mid to late round 4 pick. And it was either Ray Rice, Rashad Jennings, Frank Gore, Pierre Thomas. It would have been an easier decision for you guys to take Trent Richardson, but everybody...
Well,
I'm scared to take him right now. So, to me, the best running back left on the board was Ray Rice.
But why not in that spot maybe go tight end or quarterback?
Because I knew I could wait on quarterback, and I wanted to wait on quarterback, and the best tight end left was probably Vernon Davis, which I wasn't going to take.
What about another receiver there, just to play devil's advocate?
Okay, well, Cordarrelle Patterson was there.
So why?
I could have taken Patterson in 4, and then in round 5, okay, maybe I'll pencil it in that I take Rashad Jennings, because I'd feel
right.
better about myself if I took Rashad Jennings right. in round 5. Well, guess what? He went 2 picks after.
Don't forget about
Ray
Jennings.
Rice.
What are the other running backs available to you in round 5?
When I was up and I took Kendall Wright, it would have been Gore, Pierre Thomas, Trent Richardson, Ridley.
See, I think your team's better in that regard.
If I had taken Patterson and yep. then Gore? I'm scared of Gore. Pat Kerwin went to 49ers camp and said Gore's going to have 1,000 yards this season. I mean, listen, he's a great running back, but I see all the breakdown signs in front of him. I'm nervous.
But you thought that same thing last year, though, too. I understand it's
not
magnified.
To the same,
I understand
not
it's
to the
magnified.
Same degree, because he went over the mark that I look for in running backs. He did that in the Super Bowl. But the fact that he did it in the Super Bowl and that he played in the Super Bowl, yeah, I was nervous about him last year, too.
I think just, again, the way I would have done it, I would have probably taken Patterson there. I mean, you're a Ray Rice guy, so it's that kind of goes against
it. Yeah, he likes Ray Rice.
Right. But I think I would just – my advice would be if you take receiver, that's probably one of those running backs I would avoid, just knowing that you're already down at that position already.
Okay.
Why take away two games from it?
And now you've got a
unless you go with the idea of taking Rice and Pierce, which you declined to do.
Right.
Matthew Stafford is Jamie's quarterback. What round?
6.
Love that pick.
Reggie Bush, Marshawn Lynch, Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas. Getting a lot of questions about Julio Jones and his foot injury. Are you guys concerned about Julio's foot?
Not right now.
Yeah. There's no reason to be concerned.
Heath Miller is your tight end. Trent Richardson's your flex. Rams, Nick Novak. On the bench, we have Carlos Hyde, Mark Ingram, Terrence West, Jarrett Boykin, Brandon Cooks, and Kenny Stills. Yeah, solid team. Thoughts, lessons learned?
Well, the Richardson pick in round 5, I know you're bullish on Richardson. You could have had Golden Tate. You could have had Percy Harvin. You could have had Mike Wallace. I know that those are three receivers that we've talked highly about.
Yeah.
What was the motivation to go running back there?
After taking two receivers, I knew that I had the position solidified. It really wasn't – I really didn't go in with the intent of taking Richardson really as a flex. I took him really more as a third running back. And then when I came back around 6, obviously most of our audience knows I don't take quarterbacks early, but Matthew Stafford was sitting there, and I thought, what makes my lineup better? Stafford in that spot, or I don't know what receivers outside of the ones you just named, if any of them still made it back to me. Since I
Wallace would have made it back to you.
Right. So
Vernon Davis would have made it to you if you had wanted him.
Yeah. I mean, Davis may have been a better pick. No, Stafford's a better pick. I guess in hindsight, you know, did Richardson make the most sense there? I just looked at what my running back core was and felt more comfortable having that third guy to go with those two stud receivers, knowing that I can fill my receiver depth later.
And that's how you have to approach it if you take two receivers early. You have to build your running back depth.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. That's what I was focused on, obviously.
Right. And Dave, to Dave's point is valid, knowing that I ended up, let's say, with Terrence West, who's my fourth running back. Does he make it better? Does he make my team better if he's my third guy by comparison to having Golden Tate in my flex spot?
Yeah, maybe on paper, but not necessarily the way the season's going to play out.
Sure.
We know how hard it is to get running backs.
Right.
Brandon Cooks, is he going to be a big catch guy?
He should.
Does that kind of separate him from Watkins?
What do you mean by big catch guy? 60 catches?
Yeah.
Okay, so about four a game, right? I mean, 16 times four is 64.
Is he going to catch more balls than Sammy Watkins? Or do you think it'll be similar?
I think it'll be close.
Is Brandon Cooks going to be a guy? All right, let me phrase it this way. Is Brandon Cooks going to be a guy that's going to be better to significantly better in PPR than standard?
I would say so. And you saw a glimpse of it in the first game. Forget about the touchdown, 5 for 55.
Right.
I mean, we sat here last year and said, take the name out of the equation. But how Brandon Gibson was looking in the beginning of the season as a PPR guy when he was 6 for 60. Mm-hmm. And this was small sample size without Drew Brees. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Dave said it when Cooks was drafted that he could be a 75 catch guy. It's not inconceivable.
No, well, we expect him to get a lot of short range passes.
Well, yeah,
right?
He's going
to
help replace Broles and Lance Moore. That duo is you know, it's not going to be Kenny Stills doing all that work. It's not going to be Colston and Graham doing all that work. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the running backs because they don't have a Sproles like guy. Pierre Thomas still caught 77 passes. So there's. I don't remember what Lance Moore finished with. Maybe one of you guys want to look it up. But
last year.
73 catches for Sproles, and I'm assuming it's probably 45 at least for Lance Moore.
37.
Okay.
13 games, though.
Okay. So there's 110 catches that have to be replaced.
I think Colson could end up doing a lot of that Lance Moore work out of the slot.
Yeah, sure.
Colson went pretty late in this draft, didn't he? As I recall.
He's the guy that no one's really targeting because hashtag foot injury.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to ask Jamie about his team was part of the motivation for taking Stafford, knowing that you were picking early in round 6, late in round 7, and that you knew Stafford wouldn't make it back to you in round 7?
Oh, he definitely wouldn't have made it back to me. And it's one of those things where, you know, we talk about this all the time, and again, I know quarterbacks got pushed down, so Stafford's not going to be there based on his average draft position in most of the people listening to our audience, even if they push back quarterbacks. Stafford's more of a round 4 or 5 guy. I would say that if it wasn't, let's just say Stafford went, and I'm looking at Kaepernick and Brady and Romo and RG3 still being on the board, I would have absolutely waited another round, another time through.
All right, my team, I had the 12th pick. Jamie had 10th, Dave had 5th, just to refresh you. Drew Brees, Toby Gerhart, Stephen Ridley, Dez Bryant, Brandon Marshall. Tight end is Jason Witten. And my flex is Eric Decker, or perhaps Andre Williams, who's on my bench. Panthers defense, Robbie Gould. And then on my bench, I have Dexter McCluster, Stephon Taylor, the aforementioned Andre Williams, Kenny Britt, late round pick, and Riley Cooper. So my team's not as deep as the others, but that's because I took Drew Brees.
Your
in the
team's deep.
Round.
I don't know why you don't think your team's deep.
Well, my flex being Eric Decker, although as I said on the video show yesterday, I do think he can get a lot of catches. He's clearly the best target there for the Jets.
Really?
He's yeah. Not, yeah. I was like, did I say something stupid here? So I could see him just being a big target for Geno.
That's 80 catches. That's what makes him.
If he gets 80 catches, then he's a good flex in a PPR.
I'll take the under, but he'll be okay.
The point I wanted to make about my team is that I took a second tight end, Martellus Bennett, and I took Jason Witten pretty early because he's a reliable catch guy. But I think you can go for tight ends in this format and use them as flexes if you're in a pinch.
Because think about the receivers that are left. How many of them have 60 to 70 catch potential? There's a few, but I don't think there's going to be anybody that you really feel good about.
The guys who went
the
after
tight
him.
Ends.
You want me to read who went after Bennett?
Yeah, sure. Let's see how many of them are 60.
This is a
15-round
draft. I took Bennett with the last pick of the 13th round.
All right, so go ahead.
Robert Woods, Dree Archer, Mohamed Sanu. That's it.
Yeah, those are 0 for 3 60-catch guys. Woods maybe could get to 60.
Sanu could if Jones is out for longer than 5 weeks.
Okay. But I just want to – don't just look at wide receivers. Expand your player pool a little bit because there are tight ends that do get a lot of catches.
Well, I would have done it for the right guy, especially since I took Heath Miller. Now, obviously, I believe in Heath Miller. I think Heath Miller is a 60-catch guy because we saw it 2 years ago when he was healthy. And Jeff Tobin did it to me twice. I said this on the radio show, where 2 picks before I was taking Chris DeMichael as Lynch's handcuff, since I drafted Lynch.
Yeah.
He took Michael, and 2 picks before I was going to take Ladarius Green, he took Green.
Ladarius Green.
Right. So he also took 2 tight ends, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably. And just real quick, guys that are much better in PPR than standard would be?
We talked about a few.
We talked about a lot of the running backs that are there.
Sproles, Dexter McCluster should be one of those guys this year.
Mm-hmm.
Cooks should be somebody this year.
Rashad Jennings, we say, is better in this format.
Yep, Jennings is a good one. I think Heath Miller.
Okay. Lance Dunbar, Dave, you took him. You think he's going to be a passing downs guy for Dallas?
Yeah, I think he could end up playing and getting 30 to 40 catches.
Heartline.
And if anything happens to DeMarco Murray, that's a guy who's going to not necessarily step in all the way. Joseph Randall will be there, but he'll see an uptick in work.
Cool. All right, got a few minutes left. Let's read some emails. Starting with Brian Wilson from?
San Francisco.
Of course. Except now he's in L.A. But I'm in a 12-team PPR keeper league. Each owner team can keep one player from last year, excluding their first-round pick. Do I keep Peterson for a first-round pick? Because, you know, this I remember his email. He said second-round picks cost your first-round pick, fourth-round picks cost your third-round pick, etc.
Get to it, boy.
Peterson for a first-round pick or Eddie Lacy for a fourth-round pick?
I'd do Lacy. Boy. Especially if you can keep him for a long time.
You know what
time.
You just reminded me of?
What?
Archimedes in The Sword and the Stone.
Oh.
You ever see that?
No. Or
really?
Maybe I have and I forgot
Super
about
old
it.
Disney movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar
wait,
with
wait,
the
wait,
title.
Wait, boy. All right. Anyway, Evan from Mass is here. I have a question that I would like to have answered going into my draft.
Only if he shows up on August 23rd.
Isn't it enough that he's listening to the podcast?
No. It's never enough.
You must give us
more.
Your lives.
Sorry, Evan. We'll have to answer this on the 24th.
No, you can answer it. It'll be the 23rd.
Okay. Well, no, I mean after. Fine, we'll answer it then.
We'll answer in person.
I know going into my draft, my league does not draft
$10.
Running back heavy. So the stud wide receivers and Jimmy and Peyton will go very early. Knowing this, should I draft 2 top 10 running backs with my first two picks and hope for decent wide receivers in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th rounds? Or should I play into their scheme and draft a top 7 wide receiver with a running back and hope that my team will come together throughout the draft?
I think this email is indicative of most drafts among the fantasy folks in the world. Because Peyton's going to be a first-round pick in a lot of drafts.
Yeah,
and there's going to be more than two receivers in the first round in drafts.
So what would you do?
I would stick to what we've been saying all along. Don't play into their scheme. Don't play into anyone's scheme.
It's a little...
play into your scheme.
It's a little...
unnerving?
To say that what we've been saying all along is not exactly clear. It depends on where you're drafted.
You're going
to
get two stud running backs.
No, you're going to get two top 10 running backs. It doesn't mean you're getting two stud running backs.
In theory, theoretically, they will be studs. And then I promise you, you're going to be able to find receivers and quarterbacks later.
Yeah, but how many running backs had seven wide receivers is there. Like, I'm not opposed to going wide receiver running back in that situation.
How many running backs had 300 carries last year?
It doesn't matter. How many running backs at 300 carries? 10.
10?
Less.
What do you say?
Oh, it's got to be like 3.
2.
Oh, through 300. I'm sorry. Yeah, definitely not 10. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
But how many had over 300 touches?
How many had over 300 touches? Good question.
A dozen.
Dozen? What do you say?
9.
9. You know what it was the year before?
10.
9.
10 the year before. How many got 300 touches, 300 carries in 2012?
3.
2.
5.
Right, so the number's going down is what you're saying.
Well, it's 2 years sample size here.
Well, this is the NFL we're in right now, is that if you can get – now, the problem is that we know last year, 5 of the first 12 running backs were colossal busts, whether due to injury or poor play.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, Dave, is that, yeah, I mean, the idea of having two top 10 running backs is great, but also we've been talking about the value of those top 7 wide receivers. And – going wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, or wide receiver, running back, getting one top 10 and one top 7 wide receiver is very appealing, too.
Is anybody in this room telling me that starting your draft with Eddie Lacy and DeMarco Murray is a bad idea?
I would rather have Eddie Lacy and Brandon Marshall.
In the standard league?
Yeah.
Really?
But you know, but I've been saying that for months.
But you so you'd pass on, well, Murray's a guy I know you're questionable on, but Monte Ball? Would you go Lacy Ball?
No, I probably wouldn't. Like, in a vacuum, I like Ball better than Brandon Marshall. But my draft philosophy, if I can get one of those top 7 wide receivers, I don't think I want to go running back, running
back.
Well,
I think average draft position shows you can probably end up with Lacy and Ball.
Ball's going to be interesting. I mean,
because I know it's Ball, a guy you like Murray's
Ball's
a guy you don't like.
Now.
Right.
See, that scenario, Lacy and Ball wouldn't have been realistic maybe before the appendectomy.
I disagree.
Well,
Ball's very
in
polarizing.
Our drafts, it wouldn't have.
Ball's very polarizing.
I really like Monte Ball, so that would be tempting as hell. Ball might be an exception. Le'Veon Bell, however, I would go Marshall. If I took Lacy in the first round and Bell fell to me in the second round, I'd go Marshall.
What about Giovanni Bernard?
Marshall.
All right.
Ball, I think, has so much potential, maybe even more than Lacy.
See, the thing that comes down to, and we referenced this stat before as well, there were 5 wide receivers on average drafted in the first 2 rounds. 4 of them finished as top 5, I think it was, receivers. The one that didn't was Julio, who got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the safety factor with those guys. So I think it comes down to what your comfort factor is. I would gamble on the 2 running backs simply because in rounds 3 and 4 and even 5, there's going to be, as he suggests, good receiver value there. They're not going to be those 4 guys. But you expand the top 10 receivers from last year.
But listen,
Josh Gordon wasn't drafted early.
Listen to his
Alshon
email.
Jeffrey wasn't drafted early.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen
true.
Wasn't drafted early.
But look at the running backs that are going to be available in his league in rounds 3 and 4. I mean, he could end up with Ryan Matthews and Reggie Bush. He could end up
with
Toby Gerhardt.
If he feels comfortable taking 2 receivers early, that's the route he should go. I think the thing that comes down to is there's really no hard and fast way that you draft.
Yeah.
It's just what you feel most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And you know, like Dave said, is anybody in this room going to say they're going to pass on Lacy and Murray? Is anybody in this room going to say that you have the same draft philosophy? Because if we all had the same draft philosophy, we'd be hammering it down people's throats.
Yeah.
You know, I think it comes down to, like, you feel differently than, like, he and I are closer to each other and how we feel about this than you do.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you would take Marshall over one
of
those
second
running back
right. Just because I fear the position.
Right.
I fear the bust factor with running backs.
Yeah. Now, let's just say it was some crazy draft. And it's, would you go Lacy and Demaryius or Lacy and Murray?
Lacy and Murray. In a standard draft, mm-hmm. Lacy and Murray.
That's interesting.
Okay.
No, I understand, because what I think I'm hearing is, I want the running back, but I know running backs are 50-50. You look at Demaryius Thomas and you think total safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a 50-50 shot that he'll be a bust. It's more like
He's a top five receiver no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to get hit by a meteor.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
That's
appreciate
it. You have all these other emails.
Nah, that's it. We read a lot today. We read 5 emails, 3 tweets. More coming tomorrow. We haven't quite picked our topic yet, but
I thought we're doing a mailbag, an ADP.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, look, we have a lot of things to cram in.
You sound beaten.
Let's do a mailbag and ADP. I like that.
Considering it was your idea.
Well, the only problem is we do ADP before all the preseason games, then it's like a very short shelf life.
But it's ADP before people go into their drafts this coming week.
Okay. All right. I'm sold. Mailbag and ADP tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Do ADP on Monday.
No.
Enjoy that preseason game tonight, everybody.
Bye.
Toby Gerhardt.
Bye.